Amen. If you guys want to have a seat. Amen. Today we're going to talk about one of the essential elements of life. I think it would be good for us to focus on really what's important in life during this time, this day, to really seek to understand what that God wants us to teach it for us. Amen. No matter what happens, we're always moving forward and looking forward to what God is going to do. God was able to take anything, absolutely anything, and serve it to good according to His will and according to His plan. And we're just going to take a moment. And today we're going to talk about water, okay? Very simple, the most basic element of life. And we're going to begin by watching this video on water.
What was the first thing you did when you woke up this morning? Chances are, you use water. Try to imagine life without water. It's tough, we know. But for lots of people, life without clean water is just life. It's normal. In some places, it's normal to walk 4 hours a day without water. Water that's disgusting. It's full of diseases. Nasty ones like dysentery, cholera, and typhoid. In fact, diseases from dirty water kill more people every year than all forms of violence, including war. And here's the crazy thing. The water crisis is solvable. Our planet has water. We just need to help people get it. When we do, it brings all kinds of changes. Clean water improves health, gives kids more time in school, empowers women, boosts economies, and gives hope for a brighter future. Clean water changes just about everything. So, what can you do? We're asking you to give. Give a little, give a lot, give everything you've got. What if you've given before? You've advocated, put your heart in, gone creative, scraped the bottom of your penny jar, and then disappointed. So what? We can change the world here. Dare to believe in it. This time, ask where your money goes. We say it all goes. Every penny goes to the field. You say, prove it. We say, we already do. Want to change the world? It starts with something that has the power to change everything. It starts with you.
So, of course, that is from Charity Water, which is one organization that's working to bring clean water to places around the world. Water is essential to life because upon it, everything else in life is built. As this graphic is going to show, this is from Living Waters International, another organization that seeks to provide clean water for those who are in need. You can see that water is the building block. Do we have the graphic of the building block of water? No. It's like little stick figures and it talks about the different parts of water. So you can see that there's like, billion or so people that don't have clean water. But once you get water, then it can lead to healthier sanitation, which leads to improved health, which means you can actually get to school and learn. And when you learn, you can actually be able to get to a job and earn some economy. So you can see that everything that we need in life is really built upon this foundation of water. If we don't have clean water, we don't have life. In fact, most of you know this because you can live several weeks without food, but you can only live a couple of days without water. And the average amount of water that a person needs to survive, one person, for their cooking, their cleaning, their sanitation, and just to ensure their survival, is 13 gallons of water a day. It's a lot of water, isn't it? I don't think I can carry 13 gallons of water, but that's what the average person needs to be able to survive. And in many places in the world, in what we would call the slums or the poorer areas of the city, those people will pay 5 to 10 times as much for water as wealthy people living in the same city. Water is very important and very essential to life. I don't know if you know this, but water is also very important and a powerful symbol and image in the Bible. Water is found all throughout scriptures. We know that in the very beginning, God's Spirit hovered over it so that everything was created. Noah and his family were surviving in the ark
God's people passed through it when they came out of Egypt and escaped the slavery they were in.
It came out of a rock in the desert in order to keep them alive. God's people passed through it again when they entered into the land that God had promised to them. Throughout the Bible, water has been used to bring healing and restoration to people from the beginning to the end. And of course, water is what safeguarded Jesus in his mother's womb. And in it, he was baptized, and by it, he declared solidarity with all sinners. You see, Jesus walked on it, he called it, and he even turned it into wine. And with it, he washed his disciples' feet. And when Jesus hung on the cross for our sins, blood and water flowed from his side that was pierced. And when Jesus returned to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, which is called living water, so that we might never thirst again. For just as physical water is essential and everything else in life is built upon it, so the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, is essential to our spiritual life, and everything is built upon it. That's how important water is. One of the places where water is described in a powerful and beautiful way as the presence of God is in Ezekiel chapter 47, where the prophet Ezekiel has a vision where God is showing him what his presence is going to look like in the world. And I would just like to read this for you as well. And that's where the picture comes up of the Ezekiel River. And we'll leave that up there for you to reflect upon. I encourage you, if you'd like, to just listen to these words and just use the images this morning of the river of God, the presence of God in the world. Now, Ezekiel was recounting what had happened in this vision where God was showing him things. And he said, "Now God brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water pouring out from under the temple porch to the east. The temple faced the east. And the water poured from the south side of the temple, the south of the altar. And then he took me out to the north gate, and he led me around the outside to the gate complex on the east. And the water was gushing from under the south front of the temple. And then he walked east with a measuring tape. And he measured off 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was ankle deep. And then he measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was knee deep. And then he measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was waist deep. And then he measured off another 1,500 feet, and by now it was a river over my head, water to swim in, water no one could possibly walk through. And he said, 'Son of man, do you see this? Do you see this?' And then he took me back to the riverbank. And while sitting on the bank, I noticed a lot of trees on both sides of the river. And he told me, 'This water flows east and descends into the Arabah and then into the sea of stagnant waters, the Dead Sea. And when it empties into those waters, the sea will become fresh. Because wherever the river flows, life will flourish. Wherever the river flows, life will flourish. Great schools of fish, because the river is turning the salt sea into fresh water. And where the river flows, life abounds.'" Where the river flows, life abounds. "Fishermen will stand shoulder to shoulder along the shore from En-Gedi all the way north to En-Elam, casting their nets. And the sea will teem with all kinds of fish, like the fish of the great Mediterranean. The swamps and marshes won't become fresh, however. They will stay salty. But the river itself on both banks will grow fruit trees of all kinds. Their leaves won't wither, the fruit won't fail. Every month they'll bear fresh fruit, because the river from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." That is a beautiful picture of what God's restoration, what God's renewal looks like. That the presence of God is like this river that brings life wherever it goes, that things flourish, that there's enough food for everyone, that there's healing for everyone, that it's not just a trickle, it's this river that covers our head. That's what the presence of God is supposed to be like. That's where life is supposed to come from. That's where we can receive everything that we need to flourish in this life. Even things that are dead, will be brought to life. They will be brought to life by the Spirit, the powerful presence of God in this world. Now the Jews, they read this and they longed for this. And so the temple for them, you may be saying, why the temple? Why did the water start at the temple and flow out? Because for the Jews,
The temple represented the presence of God in this world. That's where God came in his most powerful and concentrated form and met with them. So it was at their temple, in the presence of God, that they celebrated their religious festivals and their religious feasts, and they came before the Lord. One such festival, feast, that they celebrated during the time of Jesus was called Sukkot. Sukkot also means the Feast of Tabernacles. And tabernacles can also mean like a booth or a shelter. And this festival was celebrated between the ending of the growing season and right before the harvest to celebrate what God had given them. And it was also a time to remember that when they left Egypt, before they came into the promised land, they needed to live in the desert, in the wilderness for a while. And of course, when you're living in the wilderness, water is very important to your life. So during the celebration of this festival, water played a very prominent role in the celebration. Now they would have a procession every day of this festival. It lasted for a week. Every day, people would proceed from the temple down to the south side of Jerusalem. And there they would go to the spring of Gihon. And all along the way, people would wave these branches like you see, these palm branches that they used to have to use to make their shelters for their tabernacles in the wilderness. And they would also shake this yellow fruit, which was kind of like a lemon, but not really a lemon. Why did they do that? I have no idea. It's just that's what they did. I'm sorry, we'll have to look it up together later. But they did that, and the people would sing, the people celebrated, they would march down to the south side. Amen. Because it's all about the south side sometimes. The south side, and there at the pool, the spring of Gihon, which led into the pool of Bethesda, by the way, the one where healing occurred, the priest would take a golden pitcher. And the priest would dip that golden pitcher in the water, and the people would chant the words of Isaiah, "With joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation." And they would chant that, and they would sing that. And he would take that golden pitcher full of water, and they would parade back through the city up to the temple. And the priest would get to the temple and climb the steps up to the altar. And when the priest got to the altar, there were two silver bowls on the altar, and they had spouts in them, and one faced east and the other faced west, because the prophet Zechariah had said this living water would one day flow out of the temple to the east and to the west, to the Dead Sea and to the Mediterranean Sea. And so to symbolize that, the priest would take the golden pitcher full of water, and he would also take a bottle of wine, and he would pour both of them at the same time into the silver bowls, and they would run out of the spouts, and they would overflow, because they were looking for this time when the Spirit of God would be poured out and would come from the temple like a river that got deeper and deeper, okay? Are you getting the picture of this? Can you almost picture yourself there? Now, this is not some solemn quiet ceremony. You have to understand, I told you it was a parade, right? And they're waving palms and they're shaking yellow fruit. Well, they're also singing at the top of their lungs, the Psalms, like Psalms 113 through 118. And people are playing instruments. And people are gathered around the altar and they're singing and they're playing instruments and they were dancing and they were shouting and there was even people doing acrobatics. Amen. And not only that, some of the rabbis were juggling torches of fire. You get to see now music, dancing, shouting, acrobats, juggling fire. This festival was lit. Amen. And it truly was. But they would light up the temple brighter than it ever was any time of the year. They would light more candles, as many candles as they can. And that was the celebration, okay? And this happened every day for a week. But on the seventh day, it got even louder and even crazier. On the seventh day, they would do that whole procession seven times. I mean, you had to take some time off to do this celebration. And they would do that seven times, and seven times they would pour on the altar. And they would dance, and they would sing. And on the last time, everything is louder, everything is brighter, everything is bigger. And then the gospel writer John tells us that on this day, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up in the middle of all that and cried out in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Wow. "Let anyone who is thirsty one in the middle of all this who's thirsty
comes to me.
For whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from them. By the name of the Spirit, that those who believed were later to receive. You see, that is the presence of God that we should be experiencing in our life. Amen? But I feel like most of us don't experience that, if we're honest, right?
We don't experience that kind of presence of God, like rivers that flow out from us, right? In fact, our experience of the presence of God is very different. It's more like this water bottle. It's more like we come, we have a drink of water on Sunday morning, right? We put the cap back on. That's how we experience God. That's a little bit. Sometimes it's really good, so we'll drink a lot, we'll drink the whole bottle. But it's empty. And it stays empty until we think to fill it again during the week.
And see, we think of our experience of God, His power, His presence, His voice, His Spirit flowing through us, the ability to speak words of life, the ability to bring healing.
We just don't feel it. Like a limited resource. Just as the video said, there's enough water in this world for everybody. There was more than enough in the Spirit of God for every single person. But God doesn't want us to experience it as a bottle, or as a cup, or even as a pitcher, or a bowl, or even a swimming pool, or a pond. But God wants you to experience Him like rivers of living water that flow from you. It's not just for you, but you are intended to be the vessel through which God brings His Spirit to the world, amen? Because you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You're the temple. You know what happens from the temple? The water flows. And it starts out small, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And anyone who is thirsty should be able to meet you and know that there is living water that Jesus Christ has not just given you, but that flows through you like rivers that flow out and cause everything to flourish and everything to live. Oh, remember when Jesus was at the well? Remember when He met that woman at the well and they sat down and they talked together? And Jesus pointed at the well and He said, everyone who drinks this water may be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water that I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That is the powerful promise of God. What an amazing picture that is, isn't it? That water, streams, rivers of living water would well up inside of us to eternal life. And then flow out of us to bring flourishing, to bring nourishment, to bring healing to everyone, everywhere. Because that's what the Spirit of God does. And yet we don't experience that. Even those of us who say that we're Christians, who say that we follow Christ, we don't often experience that type of flow, amen? And if you do, then we'll just praise God together, okay? Amen. We just praise God. But I think for a lot of us, we don't experience that move of God, that flow of the Spirit. And the question then becomes, why? Why do we not experience that? Well, I believe in this case, God has clearly told us why this is not happening in your life. And again, I'm speaking to everyone. This is not about religion. This is not about race. This is not about background. This is not about belief. This is about the one true living God who is over all and through all and in all. And about Jesus Christ, His only Son, the one and only who could bring this. And sometimes Jesus needs to talk to Christians. And sometimes Jesus needs to save Christians. And sometimes Jesus needs to do what Jesus is going to do. So I'm talking to everyone this morning. God says clearly through His prophet Jeremiah what our problem is this morning and in our life. And this is what the Lord God says through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 2. He said, my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of life. And they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns
that can hold no water. So we've done it. We've abandoned God, and we've tried to live life on our own. And we know we've all done that. How have we abandoned God? Well, we gave up on God, right? So many people have walked away from God. They said, you know what? God is not really, you know, important to my life. So I'll just take whatever it is that I've learned. I'll take maybe the religion that I went to church with. You know, I've got too much pain, too much hurt. And I'm just going to get rid of God in my life. And I'm going to walk away from Him. And I'm going to put all these things away. Maybe some of you this morning have abandoned or walked away from God. Can I tell you, He's never abandoned you. And He'll never walk away from you. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel far away from God this morning. Maybe you've never really experienced His presence at all. Maybe you've never really felt His love pouring into your heart like streams of living water. Maybe you've never yet, as Jesus said, believed in Him and received the Holy Spirit. It's possible that someone here today has not really believed in Jesus Christ or received the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? God is closer than you think. He is here today, and you can receive what I'm talking about today. Amen. But we've gone away from God. We've abandoned Him. What's the second thing we've done? Well, we've tried to build a life on our own, right? We've dug for ourselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water. That means we're trying to live life on our own. And how many of us are doing that? How many of us honestly are doing that? You know, and how is that working for us? I mean, we want to say we follow God, but how many of us are really following in God's principles and the teachings of Jesus? Are we? Do we even know what they are? Or like pretty much everyone, we're all in the same boat. Do we just kind of build our life, right? It's like I go to work, I go to school, I have my family, I have my friends. I build my life. And every once in a while, I turn around and I say, hi, Jesus, what do you think? What do you think, Jesus? Maybe some of us do it more often than not. Maybe once a week, we turn around and say, Jesus, what do you think of my life? Maybe we do it every other day. But even if we did that every day, we're really just building our own life and looking for Jesus for approval. You know what I'm saying? I know that's hard, but someone needs to hear that this morning. We're really just living our own life, doing what we think is best, or doing what other people tell us, and we're really not following God or letting Him build our life. So that question becomes, not only have we walked away from God, but do you feel broken? Are there things in your life that are broken and not working? We're trying to build our life. It looks pretty good, right? But if we're honest, there's holes in it. There's cracks. They're broken. Our life at this point can't really hold the living water. Are there places and things in your life that are broken this morning? Are you broken this morning? For as much as we try to say, my life that I'm building, we know somewhere deep inside of us that it's fragile. That we're just a moment of decision to step away from things really falling apart no matter how bad we try to hide it. That in reality, the life that we're building can very easily be this. It's not breaking,
baby.
Amen. Amen. It's broken. Amen. That really good. That was awesome. Man. But I think the point is, like this song would say, all of these pieces broken and scattered, Christ can mend, and He can make them whole. Amen? So when we let Christ be the potter, not us, we come up with something that isn't cracked, that isn't broken. And that's what we're seeking from God this morning. Amen? And that's what I want to give us the space to pray for. Space to pray for that. And I believe in the prophetic, amen? I believe in this happening because maybe God is being gracious to us. Maybe there's people here that your life hasn't fallen apart yet. And maybe this is a moment of grace. Sometimes you get an opportunity to
receive God before your life really falls apart.
So I invite you to close your eyes for me to pray. Lord, I want to pray this moment for your Holy Spirit to wash the place, to be like streams of living water that flow not only into our soul, but from our life as rivers to bring flourishing and healing. That if you will this morning by